A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by fellow daddly boy Michael Hamflett to discuss everything that's in store for us on tonight's show, even though there isn't a preview. but before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have wrestler interviews, we hold roundtable discussions, and host a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Right. I think Wilborn, who usually hosts, of course, he's off today, he's back tomorrow, tells me that 20 minutes is fine to get the necessary ads.
Okay. We can do this.
We can do this. I've set a timer for 20 minutes. It's now on 19 minutes and 52 seconds. I'm not going a second longer because they don't have the goddamn courtesy. And yes, I know, it's after a pay-per-view. You can't really book matches involving the talent on the pay-per-view, because if you do so, people get a clue of where the directions are going. So even AEW, right, on the Wednesday before a pay-per-view, don't re-announce anything for the Dynamite. So I understand. But I don't really like talking about it, and there's nothing to preview, and they haven't announced anything throughout the day. The only thing, and what a thing this is, right, to sell the preview podcast, right?
Yeah.
The big thing, that's the first bullet point in a social media age where it's like scroll, 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 scroll. You'd be lucky for anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, oh, what's this? You've got a second of these people's time before they scroll on to the next meme, the next GIF, the next whatever. The next, next
image that might be cursed.
Yeah, the next doom scroll. Tonight on Raw, it's Dominic Mysterio. Skip. Scroll up. Dominic Mysterio. Right, okay. Rey Mysterio. Oh, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take on Finn Balor. Maybe that's something. And Damian Priest alongside his son Dominic. That's how we can maybe phrase it in the copy so that people don't scroll aimlessly past. This was set up last week, I believe.
Yeah.
Is it in San Diego?
Yes.
Am I going to get some actual noise at least?
Yes.
That's okay. Yeah. Right, okay. People are going to create the illusion that WWE still think Rey Mysterio is a star, even though, like, you want to tell you how bad this company is, right? And how terribly they squander their resources and their own history, and how nothing means anything, and how they are just a book. Generic, just a guys, and everyone's just a guy, and nothing matters, and no one feels like a star, and everyone just feels like some idiot talking absolute nonsense verbiage. I keep telling people the resources this company has enjoyed since it got its proper bonanza rights fees in like the early 2010s. Even that was a disappointment. By the standards of the industry at the time. They still had loads more money. They still had a monopoly. They still could have signed absolutely anyone they wanted. The run Eddie Kingston's going on right now in AEW, which is already seminal, right? He could have been doing this in the 2010s in WWE. And if they were doing stuff like this, I wouldn't be in AEW because I wouldn't be such an outlet, a desire.
It's that performance center picture of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even from the recent-ish era, yeah.
If they had an Eddie Kingston, or they had a performer like an Eddie Kingston, or just, you know, they gravitated towards what fans want and articulated it for them in front of these bright lights, big cities. and they just had the sense not to be WWE all of the time. They wouldn't be an AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm talking about with Rey Mysterio, right? Use your imagination for how much this could be better. My frame of reference for how WWE should be booking Rey Mysterio is look at what AEW does with Sting. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind that on his best day, Rey Mysterio can still do an absolutely incredible impression of the wrestler he was in 2002.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And he's booked like a nothing guy who's just there some of the time. And no need to promote him. No need to go crazy when he comes out like Schiavone does with Sting. Oh, and here's Rey Mysterio. All right, cool. Yep. Don't care about him now because you're giving me loads of clues. So he's in this match and it's just a match of the Bloody Judgment Day. But it's in San Diego. Rey Mysterio could be WWE's Sting. Mm-hmm. And he should be. He should be the living legend.
The mask and the paint have the same
effect. The mask and the paint have the same effect. He should be this guy who somehow got these dual assets of this living legend who can still go and just pro wrestling royalty. That it's an absolute thrill that he's still here to be able to do these things. Such a giddy thrill for the commentators, for the live crowd, which transmits to us. And it's just Rey Mysterio having a match against the Judgment Day. But at least it's in San Diego, so it should get some noise. Mm-hmm. We know WWE's philosophy. No one can have fun at the show, at their hometown.
Yeah.
Like, it's not very sporting, because if you play in front of your home fans, you're more up for it, you get more support, you should be winning those matches. If you look at the Premier League, here's a stat in the Premier League. Right, the only time where the home advantage wasn't an actual thing in terms of the stats and how many teams win at home versus win away from home and all the rest of it. The only time this didn't happen was during the pandemic when there were no fans and it kind of made no difference. Okay. You have a little bit of travel, but you don't have that atmosphere, that crowd support. Yeah. Wrestlers should statistically, in a sports-oriented world or a sports-adjacent world, win in their hometowns. Mm-hmm. It's nice for the fans. People like to be happy. You put smiles on people's faces, right? And it makes sense in sporting context where if you've got a massive, really appreciative crowd in front of you, you're more confident, you're more hyped up, so you win. Everyone loses in their hometown, but the question is, right, I will permit you to do the bit. Just pretend I'm Wilborn.
Okay.
Is tonight the night, Michael Hanfler, July 4th, the day that Dominic Mysterio celebrates his independence as a WWE superstar all by himself? And how would he have to do that?
I like that you're getting into this, because you, much like everybody else listening to this podcast, must be aware that just like me and Wilborn always said...
Well, this is why I'm into it now, because you always said it was July the 4th, 2022.
Always said it was July the 4th, 2022, because of that pun that you've just invented just right now. Just like we always said he would get his independence. The fact that tonight Dominic Mysterio will electric chair his father, having lost to a group that were once centered entirely around a big old chair, is just perfect poetry. Perfect symmetry. No, of course it's not. I'm being flippant. He's going to turn on him in 3 or 4 weeks when WWE do 20 years of Rey Mysterio, because that's going to fall bang at the end of July. So this loss is going to be the setup to that turn. It's going to be the big Rey Mysterio 20 years from when he debuted on SmackDown. He beat Chavo Guerrero, because everybody beats Chavo Guerrero. But that's going to be the big night when Dominic finally snaps, because he can't get out of his dad's shadow. And that's going to start in earnest tonight in San Diego, where the people are going to want to cheer their hometown boys. And they're still going to lose. That's still the point. It's all to set up another dark day for the Mysterios. But this gets to be one too.
4.5 star ceiling on this match?
No. 2.
The Heat should get it up to like 3.5 at...
They're going to do a sequence, right? And it's probably going to be with Finn, I would imagine, yeah. Rey Mysterio and Finn Balor will do a sequence that will move either WWE's official socials team or one of those journalists that may as well be WWE's official socials team to do a moving side-by-side of Rey Mysterio in this match versus something he did in 2002. 20 years, and my God, the guy still goes like time has stood still for him. For all those points you made, you know, for the fact that, to be honest, he still can. Thank you, Stemmy Seas. But just the fact that he's got these, like... these amazing moments within him as relatively, like, he's a 47-year-old, but he wrestles 20 years older than that because he started so young. Finn Balor, the same, is what, like 44, 45? But you just wouldn't think it the way they do. They're going to have this incredible sequence and you're just going to be drawn in by the magic of it. And then the kind of the undertrained Dominic Mysterio and the over WWE'd Damian Priest are going to have this drawn out, sloppy, laggy bit. And I like Damian Priest, but this thing isn't going to work in between them, and they're going to tag out like hot wrestlers and again to do the hot wrestling stuff. So the match, at any point at which the match could come to life, I think it's going to come to just as equal a standstill. 2.5 stars. If it gets a finish, it's going to be the way of the heels. But there will still be smiles on faces, because I think after the Judgment Day proclaim, you know, the victory and dominance over the Mysterios as the Mysterios go off on their own sad path. You'll get the flashing red lights and some brood noises or something. Yeah, that's it. Exactly that. Exactly that. All that backward talking.
Do you know what it was?
What, the backward talking stuff?
Do you know what the thing that was backwards in the brood sleeve?
God. No, what was it?
It was, right, I killed Paul, walk with me.
I killed Paul. What is that, like, Paul is dead, Paul McCartney, or Triple H?
Yeah, but Paul is dead, Paul McCartney.
Why?
Because Jim Johnson was a huge Beatles fan.
Okay.
So they thought, there's going to be some kind of nonsense that just is meant to sound backwards, which is, you know, like the
Gangrel
weird thing.
Was the real Paul McCartney.
And I think, because Gangrel revealed this in an interview not too long ago, that it was like, I killed Paul, or Paul is dead, or I killed Paul, mm-hmm. walk with me. And I think walk with me is another reference to backwards speak, because it's Lodge speak in Twin Peaks. Yeah. Jim Johnson's loving the peaks. I like so Gangrel's like together. Twin Peaks. But what else would walk with me in a backwards lyric?
Yeah, and he came out of fire. Walk with me.
Yeah. Maybe I should love the brood all along.
All the pieces fit.
I've told you about my crap with Gangrel, haven't I?
Don't think so.
Right, okay. I've since realised as a grown adult, right, that the brood sucked. described them as Jumpin' Jeff Farmer in Seinfeld puffy shades because they couldn't look ridiculous and they couldn't cut promos. But I was in love, because I was like 13, I think. Mm. From 1985 to 1998, 13 when Gangrel was about. Was
like, this podcast, shout out to Ian Andrew Dice Clay on Twitter. This podcast is sponsored by White Wolf Inc.
Yeah, yeah. So I, this is so lame, right? You know when, like, you fancy a girl at school, uh-huh. pre-social media,
yeah,
and you forget what she looks like,
mm-hmm.
right? I was in love with the Gangrel character so much that I forgot what his name was. I was like, what is it? Because I hadn't started buying Power Slam yet, right? Super started with the Gangrel. Like, what's his name? It's like, what does she look like? What's his name? So I don't think I'd quite start buying Power Slam yet. Or if I had, it was always like a month behind, you wouldn't get it. Called him Gargel for a week.
Gargel. Gargel's debut was amazing, though, wasn't it? Remember his first week on Roy? Like, he didn't have many squashes anymore. There weren't many jobbers. And I seem to recall Gargel beat a jobber. And he used that, like, that awesome... Like, when you first saw Gangrel's implant DDT, it was like seeing the Death Rider and debuted in New Japan. Yes. Was like, oh, my God,
dead.
I wasn't into goth guys, but I did like the DDT.
I love Gargel. Like, I love Gargel so much. So, yeah, I'll go, hi.
Yeah.
Hi. But now you're talking about 2002, 20 years of Rey Mysterio. Who's his partner in 2002?
Well, in one of the best television shows ever, on the SmackDown 6 era of SmackDown, it was Edge.
It was.
So he's there for him.
Maybe they could be pals.
Yes.
And then, let's get Dominic out of the way for next week.
Out of the way, you. And then, little lamb.
Or maybe they could just destroy Dominic.
Yes.
Before the match. I know it's his hometown moment, but, you know.
And Edge can slide in time for SummerSlam. Edge and Rey Mysterio 20 years later against the Judgment Day at SummerSlam.
I don't hate that at all.
We've done it.
I don't hate that at all.
Book that for SummerSlam.
But where does The Fiend fit into it?
Straight into the main event, brother.
Mate, we've done 12 minutes on Rey Mysterio's.
We've done well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, there's not else scheduled for the show. Fallout.
I'll give you a good fallout. Liv Morgan says goodbye to Monday Night Raw. So she welcomes us to Monday Night Raw, but then says she's going to be departing it. I always wanted to do that. And then, like, sort of taps the SmackDown title on the show, says, but you'll notice that the inner colour square bit of this belt, it ain't red. It's blue.
So instead I got to go front right now, SmackDown.
I'm blue right now because I got to go front now, SmackDown. But I'm going to miss you people here on Raw. And I just hope one day, and then some heels going to run out and try and beat you down.
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey is going to make the
beer scene. Out the territory.
Out of the territory. She's losing on her last night.
So she loses
the time-honored tradition.
The time-honored tradition. She loses in the territory on her last night. Someone gets the heat from there.
Tony D beats up Liv Morgan.
This chair.
What is that chair in?
This chair.
It's two times. He's back.
Two times is back.
I thought he was. He's got a fish sticking out of his trousers.
Yeah, LTSD. I didn't think they were going to do that. Did he, you schmuck? Of course they care. Of course they care about the continuity.
Remember Liv Morgan's original NXT music? Where they were like trying to make a sort of, like a joyzy girl. Like a good time. And it went, yo. Google it after this. It's terrible. The gimmick was all right, but like, because it was authentic, but...
What was it that Randy Orton's wife was talking about cooking in a barbecue? She had a really funny pronunciation of sauce, I think.
Oh, is she Joyzy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
So
that
she had a really funny pronunciation of sauce. Maybe it was sauce. Hey, get some sauce, get some,
We just shook hands. What's some hands? Is it sauce?
Is it sauce in your hands, Randy? Dirty bastard.
You smell like sauce.
Hey, you dirty bastard. What you been doing?
She's thinking his wife out of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You get the hell out of here, Larry.
Dirty bastard.
Randy, you dirty bastard. That's like, it's the apex predator. The dirty bastard, Randy Orton.
You dirty bastard.
He finally goes to AW. It's the bastard. It's the versus dirty bastard.
Dirty bastard, Randy. Right, we've got 6 minutes and 8 seconds left. Ooh, 96.9.
What else we got? What else? So Liv Morgan, genuinely, I think she might open Monday Night Raw. Yeah. Isn't he going to get a huge bap? She won the belt.
Theory's going to be on all over the show.
Oh, God, yeah, of course.
It's going to be literally crawling all over the show.
Isn't
as Theory.
Champion? Like, there's not even the pretense of Roman, the SmackDown guy.
I know, there's no drama in who, when's he going to cash in, because he can't cash in.
Never.
Champion's not there, and he's got both belts, so that's going to suck. Is there some kind of thing where they love wacky prankster baby faces, right?
Mm.
Who, like, exhibit heel qualities because Vince McMahon has lost touch with what people are like and he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
So what if, like, a little podium, a little celebration, the Austin Theory cash celebration or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little podium and his briefcase is on there and he goes to get his phone out and he's looking, does a selfie and someone, steals a briefcase. Who could steal a briefcase in this scenario I've just made up?
R-Truth.
So Austin Theory versus R-Truth.
There we go.
It'd be so funny because a lot, like, there's a bit of Theory discourse online where a lot of people go, you know, he's got a Brad Maddox sort of telegenic sheen in it. No, he's got like a face that they seem to think is handsome and all the rest of it. So yeah, people think, I know, he's just like, he's supernatural born thriller with a bit more work rate, mid-card. He just screams mid-card to a lot of people, and people with no discerning taste can't really comprehend this at all. It would be something after, you know, a Theory's doing pro. I saw the Mythical in a wrestling website that shall go unnamed in the comment section of this. Went, I don't get why everyone's there. Doesn't like Theory for guys. I mean, you don't like him, and he's a heel. I think they call that Pro Wrestling 101. So I love that. Anyone in this sort of scenario, right? Literally anyone that is so woefully unsuited to a role. I'm not saying Theory's as bad as that, but anyone who's just not good, right? I don't like him. He's not good. Pro Wrestling 101. He should main event WrestleMania if he's got this much heat.
Back to Richard Curtis, power doesn't mean heat, actually. Right, <there's>
love that. Like, anyone that people don't like, strap him up, he's a heel. You know, I meant to like him.
That's how you be a heel in 2022, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, we've moved on from good guys versus bad guys.
Bad guys.
Sorry, I want my wrestling to mirror King of the Hill in Seinfeld.
So Theory's going to have a celebration?
Celebration, yeah. If he had, like, some of the charisma out of Chris Jericho's little finger. It might help him. A celebration.
Celebration.
I could see Theory tonight doing something along the lines of, I'm going to... Basically, he's too much of a coward to dare cash in on Roman Reigns or potentially Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar wins. And I think they're going to play with that a bit. Because he is at least that. For all he's not got a lot, he's a sniveling heel right now. That's what he does. That was the whole premise of his feud with Bobby Lashley. So he says he's going to call his shot or something like that. And that shot is going to be WrestleMania. And he takes a selfie with the briefcase. And then he has, because he's got Vince McMahon's ear, he has the production guys put in like a WrestleMania graphic on his own selfie with his briefcase. Yeah. That's when I'm going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then if not this week, next week, John Cena says, look, I called my shot with that briefcase before. And I care too much about the integrity of the WrestleMania main event to have you sniveling little creep, cashing in at WrestleMania. And then the match at SummerSlam becomes somehow, I don't know how, for the briefcase. And it's John Cena fighting for WWE bloody for the...
Vince McMahon's business.
We're near. He wants to win the briefcase and he wants to take it off. And he wants to save WrestleMania's soul by fighting Theory at SummerSlam and then he'll lose.
Indeed.
I don't know how you possibly get to a match where the system favours Theory. I don't know how on earth
I know.
Theory is in anything that in any way puts him at any kind of disadvantage when you have just done a bit where Vince has told Postman Pierce, hold him in the match.
Yeah.
Do it. I don't know how Theory finds himself in any danger between now and winning that belt, because why on earth would he be in the match in the first... Like, do they just do one of the weeks where Vince's like, it's a tough love.
Got 1 minute and 57 seconds left, so there's probably just enough time. Do they advance Seth freaking Rollins and Riddle for a feud at SummerSlam?
Oh, yeah, they're probably going to go with that. Yeah, why not? Like,
that match would probably bang. They could incorporate some of their real-life elements.
Yeah, they're having...
Like your wife was a complete cock to my wife.
They're having...
Actually, ex-wife. Hey!
1-0 somehow. they're having fantastic in-ring years, both of them, genuinely. Seth Rollins is having such a good in-ring year that me, somebody too patient with WWE for his own good, is starting to get this gimmick. I think he should turn a babyface.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I don't love what it is, and that description that you've found, that Joker narcissist nonsense.
Imagine the Joker, if you were a narcissist undergoing a midlife crisis. Not the words of me, those are the words of Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah, no, I don't want to imagine that, Seth, because I want to like you. So I'm going to choose not to imagine that. He's wrestling such a standard, and people love the sing-along and are starting to enjoy the theatrical elements of his gimmick that I think eventually he'll turn babyface. But equally right now, they're with Riddle. They've used Seth putting out Cody over and over and over again. Cody named him in the sledgehammer as the reason. You know.
But you've got 44 seconds left, so very quickly, like, Seth has lost a lot. And I know they're building him up for Cody Rhodes, so it doesn't make much sense. But I don't think running that for the fourth time, like Cody's fourth or seventh match, I don't think it's the best idea. They should just go with Roman rather. Seth, if he does eventually turn face, or quickly turns face, he could lose this to Riddle, and that could be the impetus. And if he turns face, he's kind of new again. He's got a new credibility because it's like a fresh slate. 18 seconds. Is there anything you'd love to see on Raw tonight? You've only got 15 seconds.
Let's have Montez Ford still very, very, very pissed off about what happened at Money in the Bank and wanting some sort of retribution, wanting Adam Pearce to do something about it, and indeed a SummerSlam match for the Usos. Set it up with a good reason to set it up, which is what they left behind at Money in the Bank.
And that's all we've got time for. So thank you for joining
Does
us.
Does that not give you the dreads? Because if I ever hear my alarm out of context on my phone, I'm just like, oh God,
I knew it was coming.
That makes me think of having to wake up in the morning.
I have my alarm for very different reasons. I don't just hear it in the morning.
Right.
Like when I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to cook rice?
Pardon?
You know how to cook rice?
No, I cut the lid off the packet and put it in the microwave.
Okay. If you want cheaper rice, right, get a big bastard bag of basmati.
There's loads in bags. I just can't do it. It always comes out terrible.
Right, okay. Here's the trick. Right.
And you were worried we weren't going to get 20 minutes. I'll get you on cooking at 21 minutes. This is going to go another 20 here, man.
Get a cup.
Uh-huh.
Any cup. Maybe the smaller ones, because it's deceptive how much rice there is. You put the rice in a cup, right? Mm. See, like you drink your tea out of. Put all the rice in there.
I can't wait, by the way, till we can monetize this.
Oh, God, I know.
What culture food gets discussed on other podcasts? And these goddamn, and I'm sorry I'm insulting you to your face here, these goddamn food nonsense think that it's all about a kitchen setup that looks like, what's that, Deliciously Ella? Like, everything's got super twee and all this kind of thing. Nah, What people want is idiots like me learning off kitchen savants like you and just being like sort of like this guy can barely like not like ruin cereal. I'm going to make him make real food and it's going to work and it's going to be functional and affordable.
Yes.
Like, that's actually the content people need.
Absolutely.
In this era. We're going to make that happen.
Baz might rise from Aldi's cheapest out, right?
Yeah.
And it can go with all sorts of food. It's just it's your starch, your base, your flavour carrying ingredient, right? Just a cup full of rice, right? In the meantime, you get a decent amount of water in your kettle and you boil it, right? Get a pot. You turn the pot on, right? You put the rice in, right? You put two cupfuls of the boiling water. So your ratio is 2:1 water to rice.
Okay.
So one cup of rice, two cups of boiling water. You pour the water over the rice. You put it on a medium heat, right? Put some salt in to season it.
Yeah.
And the second it starts to bubble, set your timer for 10 minutes. That's why I keep the timer on throughout the day because I cook rice a lot, like Chinese food. 10 minutes, it's going to be perfect. It's all you have to do. It's foolproof.
While it's doing that, do you butter the two pieces of bread to put it between?
Yeah.
For your dinner?
Yeah.
Where do you have the Cocoa Pops?
I don't know. But you're going
to
hate this.
Can you put the pan on a tray next to the oven chips?
Yeah. You know who taught me that?
Go on.
Jamie Oliver.
I know, you've told me. Ah, you've told me about
it. It's really good. Like, you can give anyone confidence.
apart from the working class.
Yeah. On that, no, I'm not going to beat that. Let us know what you think is going to happen on Raw if you give a toss. To WhatCultureWWE on Twitter. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at M Sidgwick. Again, you can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. That's us for the podcast today, but we have already recorded the Rampage review. Check that out. In addition to the Money in the Bank 2022 review, check that out too. And the lads will be back tomorrow for the usual schedule of stuff. So until then, thank you again for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we will see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.